guys, on a serious note, we consider ourselves a professional show and we take our roles as broadcasters very seriously.
As you sit there with the one kid with an umbrella in the background, Daisy on the lap with a mohawk.
Two unmade beds behind you.
I know. I'm a struggling single
mom. I couldn't even say good as hell. The show's
we're humming.
But aside from that, I like to think that we maintain a professional high standard of integrity. And yesterday we had a lapse in judgment and we weren't thinking. And we need to make a very sincere, earnest apology. This is essentially a retraction.
Oh dear.
We were talking about the fact that there are celebrities now on dating apps, and there's a dating app that Ben Affleck was on, and he and many others, including Zac Efron and recently Olympia Valance here in Melbourne, met her boyfriend Tom Bell Chambers on this celebrity app. So we went to the phones and asked, have you bumped into a, or swiped on a celebrity on social, on a dating app? And we got a call from Jodie. Now, Jodie thought that she was having an online chat with Keith from The Block.
Okay. Should we play back? Or?
Yeah, play it.
All right.
Yeah, so this was just a couple of weeks ago. I was actually on Bumble and myself and Keith, the foreman from The Block, matched.
Yeah. Keithy!
Again, I mean, can we be certain it was Keith the foreman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stayed out of that.
You did, and it didn't even occur to me. Like, I just, because the Block, we should also point out, number one last night again on Channel 9, number one show.
Huge show.
I was unaware, and I think we were all unaware of Keith's situation. He's happily married, and that was a guy impersonating Keith on a dating app. He then even deleted it. So poor Jodie thought she was talking to Keith. Clearly it wasn't Keith.
Right.
Keith is very happily married and not on
minutes.
A dating app.
Okay, absolutely. So you don't feel this retraction has just brought it up again and made it worse.
I know. No, I don't even know if Keith heard it.
But no one actually picked it up, so I'm not quite sure why we're apologising.
In case somebody went up to Keith. I mean, they're doing the open for inspections, aren't they?
They're better than
and
the
someone
auction.
Might have gone up and gone, oh, we heard you were dating Jodie. Now, what if Keith's wife was standing next to him while they said that? And they go, what do you mean you're dating Jodie? So you can often be impersonated as if you're a celebrity on the dating app.
Okay.
Shout out to Keith and his wife.
Oh.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Years ago on this show, we thought, this would be fun if Melbourne tradies sing over the phone, and we'll call the segment Tradeyoke. And here we are. Fast forward a couple of years. One thing's led to another. A bunch of tradies are being flown to Tokyo, Japan, the home of karaoke. We all leave on Friday. This is going to be great.
That's right. We're going to show Tokyo what our Aussie tradies are capable of in the karaoke bars. But, and I hate to put a dampener on it, I'm putting a few dampeners on the show today, aren't I? Did you hear the story that happened over the last couple of days over in Tokyo, guys? Karaoke, who knew, can go wrong. There was a karaoke incident at, this is in the Kabuchiko bar area of Tokyo. I hope that's where we're going.
I hope it's not.
Well, no.
I've read the story.
A 23-year-old host, Hiro Kawakami, she was up there with her friend and she watched a guy get up and sing. Now, this guy got up and sang and Hiro was sort of making a bit of fun of him because he apparently wasn't the best singer in the world. That's not the karaoke spirit.
Hiro,
come on. Anyway, Hiro was sort of having a bit of a laugh and the next minute the guy has come and headbutted her.
Whoa.
Headbutted her and her friend. There was a headbutting incident at karaoke in Tokyo. Guys, we need to beware of the headbutters.
This is dangerous.
Oh, gee, you knew.
Karaoke's supposed to be fun. You're not supposed to nail the song. Have we got Wolver coming?
We might need security. But it does beg the question, though, Fev. I guess karaoke, look, it's a vibrant environment, isn't it? Often there's people having a few drinks to get rid of the nerves and loosen up a bit. Then there's people on stage who aren't necessarily performing successfully, and maybe there are critics in the audience, and who knows, there could be lots of incidents that happen during karaoke.
Okay.
131060, have you had or witnessed a karaoke incident?
I watched on YouTube, it wasn't he was singing a song, he was at a wedding, so that's karaoke.
Let's call it karaoke.
Yeah.
He was singing a song and they were like two levels up and he was on stage and it was where a railing was, and as he was singing, he was getting right into it, whoop, flipped over the top.
Great.
Fell two stories. It was like a YouTube sensation.
Oh, that's a karaoke incident. Yeah, I love it. You don't have to be headbutted. No. You can fall.
Thank you. I was finally on point.
You were bang on, Feb. Thank you. This is the thing. But before we go over there, we don't want to embarrass ourselves in front of the world. Are there any things we should be mindful of? Incidents that can happen when you're performing karaoke?
All right, we'll see how we go on the phones.
You don't go to karaoke thinking you're going to get a headbutted.
You certainly don't.
Thankfully, our guys will have the hard hats on, so they'll be protected.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
We're in the tradie hard hats. 131060 is the number here at the Fox. We'll see if we got any karaoke incidents out there. We'll come back after the break.
101.9 The Fox.
We will meet all the characters that are leaving with us on Friday for what should be a fun trip. I mean, tradies singing karaoke sounds fun, Fief, on the surface.
We thought that until breaking news overnight from Japan. A global headline, a woman got headbutted in a karaoke bar in Japan, in Tokyo. This could be one of the karaoke bars we go to. She was just laughing at the guy up on stage, a bit critical of his performance, and then he headbutted her.
Yeah.
So we need to be mindful that the incidents can happen whilst you're performing at a karaoke bar. And Marty from Croydon knows all about this. Hi, Marty.
How you doing?
Good, Marty. Have you had a karaoke incident you can share?
I did. About 5 years or so ago, I was a male stripper. Now, I got called out every now and then to do hens nights, obviously. It was a Saturday night, probably 11:30, 12 o'clock. I'd done a couple of shows already, had a couple of drinks. Sure. Turned up to this karaoke venue and started to do my stuff after a few shots with the hens party. And sort of most of the way through the show, the girls were quite rowdy. I was up on the table in there. They get private rooms.
Oh, do they?
And... yeah, let's just say things are getting pretty...
okay.
I don't know. No, we'll say no more.
Marty, we'll get to that after your story. They threw you out.
Well, the security broke in mid-show, and the girls weren't happy. The girls started throwing drinks at the security guys.
Oh, God.
I'm standing there in... I had my towel on still.
Right.
And then one of the girls actually got... Well, you sort of get around towards the end of the show and the girls might rub a bit of oil on your gums your legs. And one of the girls threw the oil at the security guy. They were not happy at all. So that was my karaoke incident.
Right on point. Right on point, Marty. But let's get back to being a male stripper. Now, what goes on at one of these parties? I'd love to know.
I could write a book. Honestly, if I had better than a Year 10 Blackburn Tech education, I would write a book.
Don't worry, we know people.
A male stripper. Mate, it would be a bestseller.
Yeah, I'm interested. So do you get propositioned much?
Oh, yeah, you do. I won't lie.
Right.
Yeah, I won't lie, you know. And quite often it's the married ones.
Okay.
That, oh, God.
More likely to proposition you. I've toured and gone around Australia a couple of times overseas. Country towns, they're a different thing. Okay. But every Saturday Thief. Night, Friday night.
Thief, take control of the show.
Can we compose yourself, Thief?
Come on.
Mate, can we keep Marty's number and do a do you mind if I ask?
No, I've retired now, mate. I'm a happy
man. No, we don't want you to strip for us. We just want your grouse stories.
It's a second when we talk about it. Exactly. Okay, it's been a horrible mix-up. Thank you, Marty there from Croydon. It feels weird though going into the Sheen panel service commercial for
Marty could write a book.
There we go.
Well, he could.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
It's a big day here in Melbourne, Victoria, because our Victorian VCE students are launching into their very first exam. It's the English exam, kicks off today.
I remember how nervous I was back in 1999.
Can you really, Fev?
Yeah. I was.
Were you really nervous?
Butterflies.
Because I can.
You would have been there. You were the Ducks.
I was the school captain.
Yeah.
I found the exam period so stressful, and it was my first sort of experience with genuine anxiety. Couldn't sleep. There was so much pressure on it, and I knew that my whole life depended on these exams.
Yeah, I felt the same.
But the little eye opener for any VCE students listening, and maybe parents of VCE students. Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal, really, in the scheme of things.
Mm.
Like, at that time, when you're 16, 17, it's everything.
Yep.
And I can now say quite comfortably, over two decades later, I could have failed them and I reckon I'd still be doing okay.
Yep.
So it's not the be-all and end-all,
In fact, I don't think you even graduated, Fief. Didn't you start in...
Whoa, hang on.
You went to all these different campuses, you jumped around.
Well, I did. That was uni, wasn't it?
I went to Melbourne Uni, then I went to Monash Uni, then I went to Swinburne Uni. I did a lot of unis.
Sure.
But I did actually end up completing my Monash Arts degree.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah.
I just never turned up for my my graduation, so I haven't got my certificate.
Okay.
But the truth is, you don't often need a uni degree there, Byron. You don't have a uni degree.
I do have a uni degree. I'm a Bachelor of Business.
Sorry, you do have... You don't, Bachelor of Business!
But I haven't used it, really. University of Western Sydney, Bachelor of Business.
Did you get that in a Kellogg's box?
Oh, excuse me!
What have you used that for?
Actually, for perspective for VCE students, bit of general knowledge, but I haven't really used it. I don't need it for this job, so I probably did put too much pressure, you know, during that time.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. We're not using our uni degrees. It just goes to show that you will make it in life and there will be more important things than your VCE exam. So take a big, deep breath, any Year 12 students listening, and hear what we're about to say. Exams, schmexams. And you know what? When it comes to Year 12 exams, VCE exams...
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, I was nervous, Coxie.
Where did you pull that from?
Donnie Brasco, I think.
Forget about it.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Right. I was so worried because I had my piece. I was driving into my exams and I was obviously playing footy at the time, so I had a career. And I was that nervous because I didn't want to be the first to stand up. Because you've got to be in there for half an hour. That's the rules. You've got to sit down for half an hour and you weren't allowed to leave.
You would hope so.
You've got to stay half for an hour.
Half an hour back then.
Oh, okay.
And I just didn't want to be the first one up. So I was that nervous. My hands were sweaty. I didn't even pick my... I wrote my name on the piece of paper. And then I just look around. Because you're in a basketball hall. It's quiet. Yeah. You got all these people walking up and down and they're looking at my paper. I haven't done a thing. And then you wait for that one real idiot to stand up first. And then as soon as he got up, I was yes, I'm not the first. And then he'd walk out the door and then I'd walk out second. And then all the nerves would go. I'm like, bang, finished.
See, that is really important for people to hear, Fev, because look, the three of us, two of us do have university degrees we're not using. We've done okay without
I had a job at that time.
Like. Exactly. But that said, absolutely go for it and try your hardest, do your best, but just know that the world doesn't depend on these exams. And in fact, let's open the phone lines, 131060. Who's done well without them? Who maybe didn't do well in their Year 12 exams and they've gone on and had a really successful life?
Oh, that's a great...
Just to make people feel better.
Yes. Message today. I think that's a really important message. What about even...
Because it is important, Byron. It is important to do your uni.
Absolutely.
If you're really smart and you want to be...
Go for it.
Because my daughter Mia is actually doing exams at the moment. She had an exam yesterday and she was on the couch yesterday, like anxiety, stress. She's really worried about her exams. I'm like, honey... You'll be fine, mate. Just get in there, get it done. You're a smart kid. You've done your homework. Yeah. You've done your study. Get in there, do it. And on Friday, we're going to Tokyo and you've got 5 months off.
And then you can
Everything is going to be okay, mate.
You can play her this grab.
Forget about it.
Can I just quickly say I'm absolutely in favour of people trying their hardest and doing their best. I'm not in any way saying everyone quit uni and don't bother. Okay, it's come across quite badly. All I'm saying is,
Boxy, people are driving to school now. I got people driving to work going, mate, I'm not even going to do this exam. I'll end up on the radio. Number one station, BB Box.
Let's see how
forget
we go.
Forget about it.
We've got lots of callers who agree with.
Oh, forget about it.
And we'll take them after the break.
101.9 The Fox.
VCE exams start today, so lots of nervous Year 12 kids have probably had a sleepless night, worried about exams. I remember the stress of exams. And in your life, in that 17 or 16, 18 years, you've probably never experienced stress like this. So in my effort to try to say, relax, don't worry, forget about it.
Forget about it.
I may have come off a bit too flippant. Like, obviously care and try your hardest, but just know that it's not the be-all and end-all and people have been very successful in life, maybe not necessarily doing well in the Year 12 exams. So as an example of that, and just to take a bit of the pressure off today, we've got Laura from Ballarat. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you going?
You're good, Laura. Laura, have you had a successful life despite the fact you maybe didn't do well in exams?
So I'm 21 at the moment and I left high school when I was just before I was 16 because I couldn't deal with the stress of VCE exams. But I got into uni and I also have an environmental engineering degree before I got into university. So I got into uni with my engineering degree. Wow. And I did all of this without an ATAR.
Oh, that's a great message, Laura. So if people find the exam environment stressful, you can still do well and go on and study as you have. Well done.
Yeah, I went to CAVE, which is always a great back door to get into university, if not applying as a mature age student. And what university exams are like are definitely nowhere near as stressful as VCE exams.
Good point. See,
yeah, there we go, Laura.
Pathway.
That's a great tip. Hey, the three of us should do a university degree next year.
So,
we'll go as
you
mature
said
age.
Some silly things.
Yeah, let's hit probably campus. Feb, we could all be on
let's
campus
go on
together.
Campus.
I'll go for O week. That'll be about it. But what Laura's saying is, save school fees. I'm not sending my kids to Year 7.
Forget about it.
Just chill at home with Dad, and then I'll send you to TAFE.
And then TAFE's a good back door.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's great stuff.
Connor in Werribee. Hi, Connor.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Connor. How are you travelling in life after your VCE exams?
Yeah, pretty good. I flunked my VCE exams. I was studying business, and then once I left, I decided to start my own concreting company, which has been flat out since I started.
Oh, well
see,
done.
This is a perfect example, Boxy.
Yeah.
He failed his business degree, and then he went and opened up a business, and it's humming.
That's unbelievable. Isn't it?
Whereas Byron did a business degree.
And now
never
he's a button
it.
Monkey.
You paid for a university degree.
Oh, wow.
It's given me a great foundation.
See, you can't even talk.
The Fox.
Back to uni, Byron.
101.9 The Fox.
Well, would you believe this, Fev? Producer of the Year, award-winning producer Leon Shergren, who runs this show, his friend was on A Current Affair last night.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get paid for it, though.
Yeah, Fev's
I got
been
smashed.
On it.
Bloody Current Affair. I watch it every night, though.
It's
great. I actually watched it.
Did you see this last night?
I did see this last night, and I didn't know, and then you posted on our WhatsApp.
Yeah.
She's got amazing eyes.
Well, I don't think that's the point of the
story. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't just she beautiful eyes.
Well, let her know. No, she's getting married in a few weeks.
Yes.
And she hired a videographer. And after a few weeks, I think, or a few months, some brides got in touch with her and said, hey, you need to back out. This guy is dodgy.
Oh,
and
no.
His videos are terrible, and he's taking your money and running with it, essentially.
Oh, con man.
Yeah.
They love a con man
they
on a
con
affair.
They love a con man.
So here's a bit. So this
Tracy
con man,
Grimshaw is all over that.
So his name is Ashley, and then your friend's called Danny. And here's a little bit of the con man in action.
Ashley set up quite a money earner, filming weddings for almost $2,000 a pop. But these brides say their guests could have shot better videos of their big day on their phones.
Mm. Hi, are you Ashley?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Oh, the con man. He's on the run.
I got him.
And then Danny, this is Leon's friend, having her moment. This was a big moment on television for Danny as she discusses the con man.
We paid a 50% deposit of $400. I think it was before May, actually, because we cancelled in May. And he promised that he would get it back to us, and we still haven't seen it, so.
First thing is, Current Affair paid her $400 to do the interview. And then after the interview, the con man paid the $400 back.
She's actually ahead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, these are Current Affair reporters. Hats off to them because they go into the firing line. They chase these people. They don't know what's going to happen.
No.
They're pretty ballsy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched one the other day about the, you know, when you go to the airport and you get a car and people come up to you and say, hey, do you need a taxi? Without booking, and these guys are common. They don't have licenses. They don't have anything. And this guy's chasing them through the Melbourne airport. Do you have a taxi license? Go away!
Let's face it, guys. This show is on for at least half an hour every night. They've got to fill this show. So 13, 10, 60. Maybe it's not that unusual to actually be on A Current Affair. If you've been on A Current Affair, give us a call. We might end up with more calls than we would think.
Yeah, 100%. And I love when they get someone on. We might get deep into this because she looked very sad.
Yeah, well, she actually told me last night that when the journalist interviewed her, they actually had to get some cutaway footage of her walking, looking sad.
Yep.
And they set her down on the park bench and they told her, can you sadly look through this video on the website and just pretend that this could have been you? They were hoping for tears.
That's the best.
So if you've been on A Current Affair, give us a call. We'll see how we go here. The number is 13 1060.
1019. The Fox.
13 1060. Is it that big of a deal to be on A Current Affair, Fev? I mean, it seems as though half of Melbourne have been on that show at some point.
Yeah, well, they've got to get stories, and it's a great show. I watch it. A Current Affair, I've been on a few times. I don't really talk about that. I was the one being chased.
Yeah, yours was a bit different. I mean, Leon's
friend, yeah. Danny, who hired a photographer for her upcoming wedding, got told via other people that had booked through this guy that he's a con man and you can shoot better shows on your iPhone and stitched him at $400. And she was on A Current Affair last night.
We paid a 50% deposit of $400. I think it was before May, actually, because we cancelled in May. And he promised that he would get it back to us, and we still haven't seen it. So,
you absolute con man. Look, there are so many stories. This is sort of your typical classic A Current Affair story. This was just one of many that we love.
The fish and chip shop feud. How a little Aussie business became a battleground.
Did you try to blow up the fish and chip shop?
A Current Affair next.
Yeah.
It's either a con man or some sort of battleground.
Yeah, or I think that guy, I remember watching that, he owned the fish and chip shop and tried to claim insurance.
Right, oh, there we go.
And then obviously you can't do that because the evidence, NCIS rolled in and then knew that he actually did it himself and he didn't get the insurance.
I can't believe
money.
You've barely missed an episode of A Current Affair.
Oh, mate, it's the best. Catherine from Somerville, good morning.
Hi, how you going?
Not too bad. Have you been on A Current Affair?
I've been on twice.
Whoa!
Wow, you're a jewel. Two times.
So the first time was my dad. He died from mesothelioma from asbestos.
Oh, sorry.
And look, it happens. So we did a story to try and raise awareness for that.
Yep.
And they did the whole walking the dog down the street and looking all sad and stuff like that. And then the second time was my stepmother. As nice as she is, stole all my inheritance my dad left me.
Oh.
And so then we, my sister one night had a few drinks and wrote to A Current Affair and said, this is what's happened. And sure enough, next morning, I get a phone call and I'm in Queensland doing a story looking through a photo album with my brother and sister.
Oh, wow. So they were, so your second story, they would have doubled up and used the first story.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, and then made everyone feel sorry for you. Did you get your money back?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. That would have been.
Do A Current Affair say that they're going to try and get it back? What's the process there?
No, look, they just wanted the story.
Right. Okay.
They didn't try. Like, why I didn't get it back was she went bankrupt and we went to court. So
okay. They
did film outside court as well, which emotions were high. So they got me at my best yelling at her. So
oh, no.
It was a beautiful story.
Did A Current Affair pay you, Catherine?
No, they did. No, so they paid for all the flights and stuff to Queensland and hotels and stuff. But, yeah, there's no cash payment.
Yeah, that's a tough story. We appreciate you calling. Story. And I guess they can't guarantee an outcome, but they don't come across smelling like roses there, do they?
That wasn't a fun one. Sam from Taylor's Lakes, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
When were you on A Current Affair?
So I was actually on A Current Affair about 18 years ago.
Wow.
A housing company had gone broke and they were doing stories on all the families in the lead up to Christmas. We were living with my in-laws and they brought their Christmas decorations with them and they decorated the room and then sold the story of here's this family spending Christmas in the garage.
Oh, wow.
So hang on. So what they brought
they
a Christmas.
It.
So they brought some props to sort of add to the story.
Exactly.
Wow. There we
decorated
go.
Decorated my daughter's cot and everything.
Jeez.
Did you get paid?
To be honest, I can't remember. It was such a long time ago.
I think you guys were okay because you were in your mother-in-law's.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But that doesn't look as good on A Current Affair.
No,
you
doesn't.
Want them struggling, living in a shed. Thank
wow.
you for your call there, Sam. Much appreciated.
Nancy from Watsonia North. Good morning, Nance.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Now, do we have a happy story here?
We do have a very happy story.
Oh,
it's
good.
I had identical triplet boys back in 2007.
Wow.
And Current Affair got wind of it because apparently it was, at the time, it was one in 200 million. So they came to our place at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're moving into a day. My mum and my dad were there, and they're Italian. My mum was cooking up pasta, and the cameramen were having an absolute feast. And at the end of it, Martin King said to me, so, Nancy, you going to have any more kids? And I just looked at him and said, my husband's going to be having a vasectomy right here on the kitchen table. I said, I'm going to be using two bricks, as long as I don't get my thumbs caught, everything will be okay. And then about 3 days later, I get a call from the parish priest. He tells me off about saying that.
Now, that's a muffled line. There was something about identical triplets and a vasectomy is about all I heard.
She said to Martin King, who's been on A Current Affair for a long time.
Oh, yeah, the grey-haired guy.
She said, turned around and said, I'm going to get two bricks and give him a vasectomy on the bench.
Good fun. Thank you so much.
They probably wanted to film that for juice it up a little bit.
Good stuff. It's the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Tradeyoke, of course, a segment that started years ago on this show just with tradies singing for us, and now look what it's led to.
I think that's his best.
That was an outstanding jingle.
That was unbelievable.
It's time to meet the cast of characters. It's been a huge process. We've got groupies coming and, of course, our superstar tradies that registered at fox.com.au. A lot of people saying, hey, who's going?
So yeah.
You're leaving in 2 days. Well,
let's do a little recap.
Let's profile them.
Tradie 1, Ryan, the concreter from Berwick.
Now, Riser, he's from Berwick. He's actually bringing his girlfriend, Byron, so that's an interesting decision. When you go overseas to sing in karaoke bars, I wonder if he'll be embarrassed, but he's always down for a sing-along. On occasions when he's out, probably down at, what's your favourite place down in Narre Warren?
Well, he's in the southeast. He could be at Empire
He could be at Empire. He's often got up on stage to perform karaoke and other routines. He loves a bit of a dance, so he's known to be very fearless. So here's his audition, and he sung a bit of Queen, Don't Stop Me Now. Ryan,
Don't
take it away.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. And if you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Tradie 2, Ron, the tow truck driver from Baronia.
Yes, Ronnie. He's our man from Sheen, which is one
Sheen
of our
panel service.
Yeah, which one of our major sponsor. They've been going since 1969. Happy 50th birthday!
Brilliant.
We wouldn't be able to go there without Sheen. And he rang up, and he can actually sing, and he's going to bring his wife as well. Otherwise, he said to us that she would kill him.
Fair enough.
I'm looking forward to Ronnie. He was up and about. He's got two young kids and a beautiful wife, and he rang up. And he sung us one of my favourite songs. And the reason I chose him is because he sung our wedding song, Angels, by Robbie Williams.
And through it all, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong.
Tradie 3, Lee, the arborist from Point Cook.
Ah, Lee the arborist, the Englishman.
Hey, Lee.
He seems up and about, and you always need someone up and about on a footy trip. I mean, a work trip. And he loves to have a laugh. He's going to bring his son, what's his son's name? Lee? Is his son Lee?
Yeah, his son's also an arborist.
Are they both Lee?
Yeah, I think it's Devon. Devon is his son.
That's right,
yeah.
Devon. And he's going to be up and about. And when he rang in, Byron, he was just so up and about. He was happy. I think he's going to love having a couple of sakis. He's going to love getting on stage. He's going to be the life of the trip. And he called up and he sung Mustang Sally and also got us involved in his song.
All you want to do is ride along, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
One of these early mornings, you got to put your flat feet on the ground.
He is brilliant.
Yeah, he's going to be brilliant. And also, we've got a couple of groupies coming along in Samantha and Jackie. So it's going to be huge. Can't wait. We fly out in 2 days. Boxy flies out. Is she flying out now?
Well, she's got something with Trixie that she has to get to now. But there was a terrible mix-up. And she's taking a flight that actually leaves during our show on Friday. So I don't know how that worked out. But yeah, we'll all be there eventually over the weekend. It's going to be a massive week. Broadcasting live from Tokyo, Japan, right through next week here at The Fox.
101.9
The Fox.
The Fox.
Now, one of the biggest actors in the world, Byron, The Wok. The Wok.
The Wok.
I was just reading.
You're already
about,
in Japan.
I was
in
just
your mind.
Reading about his sushi. That might be Chinese,
but continue.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, treats himself once a week. He has a cheat meal. And he used to be a wrestler. Now he's one of the biggest actors in the world. And he's a big human.
He's in good shape.
There's no fat on him.
No.
But he has a cheat meal. And he was on Fallon the other night. And he talks about what he does and how he eats and what he does eat, but he puts his kids to bed first and then it'd be like midnight or something and then he'll cheat himself.
The cheat meals, it's like church, you know? It's like because you work out hard and once a week you treat yourself and then, you know, I partake in that.
Yeah.
So at like midnight.
That's when you have your cheat meal?
That's when yes. And I'm like a troll, like, oh, yeah. Open it up and
look at
all by myself.
Look at me.
Oh, look out.
He's an amazing eater. he could eat for Australia. So some of his meals, he likes a big piece of meat. So this is after 12 o'clock. He'll have a kilo bone of ribeye with a 450-gram loaded baked potato. smashes that on a Saturday night. Another cheap meal consists of, this is what he did. He really treated himself after he finished filming Hercules. So he's filmed The Big Show and he's like, I've leaned up. I need a pig out. He ate a staggering 12 pancakes, 4 pizzas and 21 brownies in one sitting, which is amazing.
21 brownies.
21 brownies. His pancakes and ice cream when he treats himself to that. He has pancakes, 12 stacks of them, smothered with peanut butter syrup and 3 tubs of ice cream.
Okay.
In one sitting.
Feb, we should make the point, though, and look, we all like to try and stay as healthy as we can. We should make the point, he has earned the right to do this.
Yeah, it's his cheat.
He works so hard, probably 6.5 days a week, that he can do this. I don't know that most people should be trying this.
No, they shouldn't. I wouldn't eat that in a week. But he says, don't cheat yourself, treat yourself. And what he does at Christmas, he treats himself every Christmas. And what he does is, he came up with this little meal himself. He has 8 slices of sourdough French toast topped with an apple pie as a Christmas gift.
It's a nice touch.
And I used to have a cheat meal when I played footy because I was obviously healthy and I ate the right foods because you have to keep your skin folds down and try to look ripped because the jumpers are really tight. Mm. I used to, on the way home, maybe once or twice a week, on the way down the Nepean Highway, I'd pop into the KFC. And I'd get
From Carlton,
just before dinner, I'd treat myself because sometimes you need a little bit of carb. You need something just to ooh before you get home. I used to have a large chips with extra salt,
right?
And that was my little
just to myself. So it's like a family pack.
Just a large chips.
Jeez.
And I used to the KFC wasn't far from my house, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And by the time it got home, I was pouring the salt in my mouth from the bottom. I love
this. Is a good era. This idea of cheat meals, and this is probably more popular with sort of gym heads that maybe spend a bit more time exercising. But what is that cheat meal? 13, 10, 60. Cheat meal that you just when you want to go off, you really go off.
I reckon yours would be just a protein ball with extra.
No, mine's pathetic because I don't work out hard enough. Like I like to try and stay fit, but I don't work out hard enough to justify a cheat meal.
Yeah.
So mine is so boring. It's that Panna vegan chocolate. That's about as wild as I get.
I don't know why I asked you. 13, 10, 60, what's your cheat meal?
I'm being looked at from producers.
No, that's embarrassing.
Panna vegan chocolate. 13, 10, 60, give us a call with your cheat meal right here at The Fox.
101.9, The Fox.
13, 10, 60, Feb has found Dwayne The Rock Johnson's cheat meal list, and it is unbelievable.
It is mouth-watering. Drool style. I read through this and went, wow. He weighs 116 kilos, a big fella, but he does have a strong diet. He has a strong, strict diet because it's all about protein to aid his lean muscle growth. He has 6 to 7 meals a day.
He's just grazing.
Yeah, and his cheat meal is on a Sunday.
Right.
And he, as he said, on Fallon, it's like going to church.
Oh, he loves it.
So we thought, 13, 10, 60, what's your cheat meal? My cheat meal back when I was an athlete was hot chips. I loved hot chips. And that was my, I feel good after I've eaten hot chips. And yours was vegan chocolate.
Well, mine's vegan chocolate.
I don't think that's a cheat meal.
Well, it's a Panna. Anyway, it's a Panna chocolate.
It's not a cheat meal.
It's a wonderful
product. Dale from Hoppers Crossing, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's your cheat meal, brother?
So on a Sunday, like The Rock does, I'll have some pancakes and some maple syrup. Lunch, I'll go to Grilled, grab 2 burgers. Schnitz, I'll have some large chips.
How good are the chips at Schnitz?
Oh, they're so good,
man.
Oh, my God.
They are unbelievable. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
No, you're right, mate. Schnitz chips, yeah, well, I could talk about that all day. And then for dinner, I'll have a parma and chips or maybe a large pizza.
Gee, there's a lot of chips going on your cheat days. Feb, I would remind you, you're now not training at Carlton, so just a thought. Let's go to Shona in Kew.
Morning, Shona.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, we're good. What's your cheat meal?
It's usually 12 Krispy Kreme donuts.
12?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. The last time I did that, that was also following wrap and chips from Schnitz. So following that trend.
Okay. 12 Krispy Kreme donuts. Do you mix it up or you just go the glaze?
Mix it up, definitely.
Do you not feel sick?
No. Definitely very hungry, especially when, like The Rock, lots of gym throughout the week. And when you're cutting for summer or something like that, the appetite's just so high. I'll just eat it all.
Yeah.
When she's shredding for stereo. Yeah.
Fev's cutting for summer as we speak. Thank you very much, Shona.
Dylan from Hoppers Crossing, what's your cheat meal?
All right, so large double quarter pounder meal, add Big Mac sauce, add McChicken sauce, add a crispy chicken patty, extra drink, 10 nuggets. If you've got it in, you're probably a chicken and cheese as well.
Well, is that your drive-through order?
Yeah, that's the goal. If I don't get a family box, that's the go-to.
Wow. Okay. How often would you eat that?
Oh, if I'm with the boys on a weekend, then probably every weekend. But if I'm being healthy, then maybe on a Thursday after gym.
If I'm being healthy.
Oh, but he's really disciplining himself. Unbelievable. It's the Fox.
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Just want to confirm with the whole team. Tomorrow is, of course, Halloween here with Fifi, Fev and Byron. Melbourne really getting ready for that. Just to confirm, we are definitely not dressing up in Halloween costume tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
So we're not.
I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow because I've got to prepare for tomorrow night.
Well, you need to turn up to the show.
Well,
okay, great. Just last year, you all said we were, and I turned up as Gargamel from the Smurfs.
Well, you just wore a normal kit.
Okay, no one else was dressed up. All right.
Neither were you.
Let's get straight into the free-for-all.